guess where we are. We are live at the mall today for Bob Davis Podcast 687. We're going to talk about finding real value in an age of disruption, distraction, confusion, and persuasion in Podcast 687. So here's a question for you, if this has ever happened to you, because it's happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it certainly happened to me. So you go out to the mall, like this place, and you come home and something has happened. I came home one time to a lot of water in the entryway, and I realized that somebody had left a window open in one of the bathrooms, and it was below zero, and the pipes had burst in the bathroom. Another time, I was at a party, and the pipes burst upstairs, and the entire ceiling fell in the kitchen. And one of our guests came out and said, you know, there's something you should see in the kitchen. And I said, why? We're having fun. We're partying out here at 20. No, I think you should come in here. And I went in the kitchen, and here was the ceiling and water everywhere in the kitchen. So things happen, and they happen in the winter for some god-awful reason. And when they do, I want you to think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. You come home and the furnace is off because it's broken? Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating. You have pipes burst? Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And if you're a customer of Ryan, you get priority. So if you do have some planning ahead and you can get Ryan to help, they are great. They are great at reliable service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And I can't say enough about Ryan. As you know, they've been sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast for a long time. So just remember, whether it's home or business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Ryan Plumbing, online at ryanplumbing.com. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Now, very quickly, in the news these days, we're going to hear a lot of talk about foreign manufacturing. We're not going to talk any politics in this podcast at all, which is really cool, but it's not going away. So if you are one of these companies manufacturing overseas, you got to think about reshoring, because you may have to reshore some of your stuff to avoid penalties, or all of it. If you're one of these companies that is considering reshoring, you're thinking about American manufacturing, remember DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. You can visit them online and learn all about DepoStar at DepoStar.com, DepoStar, DepoStar.com. So this is the oldest indoor mall in the United States, here in Edina, Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul. My understanding is this mall goes back to at least the early 60s, and I think the mid-50s, 56, 57, I'm not sure. I like to come here rather than the Mall of America. Part of it is my reference point for all things retail is Southdale. So when I talk about economics and I talk about retail and things like that, this is the place that I'm most familiar with. So when I come here, if things are good, I know it. If things are bad, I know it. If things have changed, I know it. But I don't come here a lot these days. And not because malls in general have fallen on harder times, but and not, by the way, because I'm not interested or anything like that. I just don't buy anything anymore, so I don't have a need to come here and buy anything. I think I bought a suit here a while back, and I think other than that, the last time I was here was a Christmas podcast a couple of years ago. And so on this dreary and cold winter Sunday, last week before Christmas 2017, I'm here at the mall. A lot of memories for me. There's a young couple over there with babies. There are mothers and daughters Christmas shopping together. And there's a guy standing over there waiting for his wife or his girlfriend in some weird knick-knack shop. And I've done that many times where she goes into some, I don't know, have an explanation for it other than a knick-knack shop. And you end up standing out here on the rail along with all the other guys waiting for their wives, because, you know, it's too the thought of going in there is too much. So aside from the Christmas holiday, the other reason that I came here today was because I had a thought this morning. The thought was, what's really valuable to us these days? The malls aren't as packed as they used to be. The stores here and at other malls like this across the country are more closely defined. Mostly clothing and accessories. Maybe there's the eyeglass place and the jeweler, but for the most part, it's not a place where the Sears and the JCPenney are the anchors. I think Macy's and Herberger's or somebody like that is probably the last real department sort of store left here. And Herberger's over there, my understanding is that's a place where you can buy makeup cheap and you can buy clothing cheap depending on where you go in the store. I remember the days when you could buy a couch and a TV at the same place at the mall. So that's changed. But that's not why I wanted to do this podcast. What I wanted to do this podcast for was to ask the question, what things are really valuable to us today? Many things are disposable completely. My phone is a new phone. I've had now 3 iPhones. This is my 3rd one. This iPhone was already obsolete, and in a couple of years, I will replace it with a new iPhone that I'll have for 2 or 3 years, and then I'll get another one. So it isn't necessarily that things don't last, because it sounds like, I don't want to sound like that guy that says, you know, things don't last anymore. But things are rapidly eclipsed by better technology. So this phone does things that my other phone didn't do, faster. It has more capabilities. And so the other phone is superseded by the new phone. So there's this whole disposable concept with getting rid of old phones that still work. My old iPhone still works. It's actually in my truck. It's in Mobile Podcast Command. I just have it there, but I don't know what to do with it. And I also have a Motorola flip phone someplace around my house, but it's virtually useless. So when I say these days, when I say the word value, what does the word value mean to you? Certainly value is an advertising phrase. It used to mean something that lasted longer, better quality, something that might be more expensive, but it was good value. You could buy a car that might be on the lower end of the luxury scale, but it had a lasting value because it was advertised as well made. So the 1959 Chevrolet Biscayne had a good engine, and it was a fairly advanced vehicle. It was simple, but even though it was the lowest on the end of the scale, it was still, in a way, elegant. Or the 62 Chevy 409 Coupe, which was absolutely just stripped down to the basics. The little black dress, your father's fishing gear, a certain kind of tool that you used, a drill or a router or something that just really was made well. Those old corduroy pants that seemed to last forever. The thick, waxy raincoat that they wear with the hat and the long bill in the back, and they were so heavily waxed, they were warm, and they also provided protection from wet. Really well-made wool socks or wool shirts. People, when they think about value, it will evoke memories of certain brands, which were value for times. Or for a time. So, you know, and in the present time frame, I would say in terms of brand, the first Apple computers, and I'm not talking about the ones that we use today, but the Apple IIe, let's say, that evoked a certain image in a person's mind. Something like a brand like Uniroyal Tires or Sealy Posturepedic, which, by the way, is still a really good mattress. Linoleum, which was a brand name. And everybody had linoleum on the floor in their kitchens. Chevrolet or Ford as brands, international brands like that, Marlboro cigarettes or something to that effect, and so on. And as you're listening to this, you know, you'll come up with all kinds of brands that you might remember from your time growing up. What makes something of value or something valuable? It's not just products, because these days everything seems so disposable. Fashion changes from year to year. We don't buy things to last because we know that they're going to be superseded by something better in a short period of time. Look how much cars have changed. That's one of my reference points. You know, cars in the old days, you bought used cars. They didn't change too much now. They're introducing new wrinkles, technologically speaking, to cars all the time. So you end up, if you are into cars, let's say, you're always wanting the newest, latest thing. This place, this mall, has changed so much from the days when I used to come here with my wife and my kid, my son, when he was little. And for me, that seems yesterday, but this is a completely different mall. You know, the paneling, the stores are different, the paint, the colors, the whole arrangement down there on this first floor is different. So I look at things in the window today, and I look at it and I think, well, I don't want any of this stuff. And so then I start to think, well, what do I want? What kinds of things do I seek these days? Well, you can hear in the background the Christmas music. And this is let me tell you, this is the only Christmas music you're going to hear from the Bob Davis podcast, what's going on in the background. But Christmas time is a time for parties. It's a time for events. If you're in business for yourself, it's an opportunity for you to connect with clients in some way, shape, or form. And of course, Christmas parties, New Year's parties, parties around this time of the year are kind of fraught with some issues. And I'm not going to go into depth too much about them, but you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going to recommend Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park. Why? Because this is a great thing to do. It's fun. It is enjoyable. There's a creative thing that everybody's doing. You get to work with your employees and talk to clients. If you bring clients or a family, can get together and do something wholesome and fun that's still a night out. So if you're interested in learning more about a Brush Studio night out, they're in the West End St. Louis Park. They have heated parking there. You can sign up online at brushstudio.net, or you can reach out to Brush Studio at 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700. They are event planning ninjas, and yes, they have 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End. You're going to have a good time at Brush. Date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family, friends night out, holiday parties, they're all going to be great at Brush Studio, West End, St. Louis Park. Again, if you go to their website, brushstudio.net, you can see what they do, how they do it, and it's very well explained. It's really fun. 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700, brushstudio.net. These days, you got a big choice of what you want to use to listen to podcasts. And I could go into detail, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you real quick as I walk here through the mall that you can listen to the Bob Davis podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. We have streaming audio that features the last three podcasts. If you hit the page on a desktop, it just starts. If you select a podcast to listen to, then the audio goes off, and then you can listen to the podcast on the page with the player. You can also subscribe to the podcast off the page. You can listen to them and subscribe to the Bob Davis podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, of course, the granddaddy, TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com. I have so many of these, Google Play, that I don't even remember them all, but there's lots of places where the Bob Davis podcasts are available. I also appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. 2018 is going to be a big year. Gubernatorial, senatorial elections. We got a gubernatorial race over in Wisconsin, one in Minnesota, Senate races, congressional races, state house races, and I will be covering them in Mobile Podcast Command, so your donations really come in handy for that, and I appreciate it. Just click on that donate button right there on the page underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command down in Texas, and you're good to go. So I had asked what types of things I want, because my experience here walking around looking in the windows is, I don't see anything I really want. Part of it is I've worked really hard to suppress my wants because I'm in business for myself and the money that I make needs to go into the business, which is fine with me because that's something of value. That's an important value for me. But I think most of us have come to the point where experiences have value. Travel, your friends, family members, journeys that we're on in life, personal challenges. The mall is designed to evoke emotions and ideas, maybe of simpler times, perhaps, or those times when you had to drive into the little village, the town, you had to drive into Eveleth, or you had to drive into your town to purchase things. You had to drive to the department store. You had to drive to the new Sears. We didn't have malls before, where I lived, we didn't have malls until almost the 1970s. So I know that this mall is one of those malls that was built in the 50s, largely because Minnesota is so cold that the idea of having a covered mall was just revolutionary. In the town I grew up in Chicago, there was a mall, but it was an outdoor mall. So it didn't have a roof, and it still doesn't have a roof. And that's the place that we went to most of the time. So we went to a mall, but it wasn't quite like that. And most of the time, we would drive into the town, and we would pass through the farmlands and the little Phillips gas station on the corner that you could buy milk and sugar and coffee at in order to get into town to go to the store to get the shoes from the shoe place or to get the laundry from the laundry place or to get the suit that had been taken in from the tailor, that kind of thing. And they all had storefronts. And I think there's a lot of stuff at the mall that is designed kind of to evoke that kind of time where you bought really well-made, solid stuff that had some value. You know, like your grandmother's waffle iron that weighed a ton and was amazing. And, you know, some of that stuff didn't last back in the day, but the point is most of it did because it was designed to last for a long time because the manufacturers didn't know where that waffle iron was going to go. Could end up on a ranch out in Utah or something. And, you know, you don't want to be without pancakes or waffles on Sunday morning or any morning for that matter. You know, these days, you can go to Target or Walmart and buy a waffle iron for $10. And if it doesn't work anymore, you just throw it out and buy another one. You know, I've done it. I've certainly done it with coffee grinders. I've done it with pots and pans that have coatings on them that after a while they don't work. You just throw them out and go buy another one for $10. That's the way it is. So value takes on a new meaning in this modern time. And another word is leisure. That's another word that we don't think too much about leisure these days. But leisure is just simply the use of free time for enjoyment. And I look around here and I see these people in this great country where there seems to be so much leisure. People can go up to Dave & Buster's or they can go to the food court or they can hang out here at the mall with their friends or they can have this sumptuous lunch at the Cheesecake Factory or whatever. But it's hard to tell whether these people are actually in the act of having leisure or this is work for them. It's hard to tell whether or not they're working as they are doing something like buying presents for Aunt Sue and the grandsons. Leisure is having time to do what you want, and that is a relatively new concept in our society that came along with the Industrial Revolution and with the Technical Revolution. I'm not sure we have any leisure time left. So maybe value is actually being able to turn all of your devices off. So if you're into leisure, you have time because your immediate survival needs were satisfied. And most of our immediate survival needs were satisfied by the gifts of the Industrial Revolution. Refrigeration, being able to move large amounts of goods on railroads, trucking, and then having the microwave and the oven at home and all those things that anybody could get as long as they had a job somewhere. You weren't put in a position of making supper for three farmhands. You weren't put in the position of repairing fences out in 20 below zero weather. You're not down at the plant 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. But you might be on your device sending and receiving email about a guy in accounting who has a question, or in between meetings, running out to the mall to buy some Christmas presents on a Sunday, or you are texting a client or your boss about Monday's meeting because your boss is driving you crazy. So there's leisure, and then there's actually real downtime, actually real down quiet time when we don't have to do anything. When was the last time you had that? And that's what I'm getting at in terms of value. What's really valuable these days? Well, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of emphasis on persuasion in our time. I talked earlier about how this mall really proves that. It's evocative. The images and textures along the walls, the paneling, the brick, the muted or unmuted colors, where the unmuted colors are versus the muted colors, the sound that we hear all around us, the music. Some at the Mall of America, some of the pavilions are carpeted, others aren't. All of this is designed to evoke thoughts and emotions. The texture, the brick painted white on the corner of one of the clothing stores that evokes kind of a rich feeling. The 10-foot high images of the beautiful women by the Victoria's Secret. The names of these stores, one of them here is called Torrid. And Torrid, I'm looking over at it now, apparently is for larger women. And I don't know where they get Torrid out of. It's very weird. It's a weird name. Stuff like that. It's weird names for these stores. And the positioning, the market positioning, and science behind market positioning to evoke images that encourage us to believe that we're going to buy some pants, or we're going to buy a shirt, we're going to buy something, and it's going to have lasting value. It's the kinds of images that evoke, as I said, the small town shopping area, or actually even the bazaar, the marketplace or shopping quarter rather, usually associated with the Middle East back in the day. A place where at one time in the United States, markets, whether it was a street in Chicago or a place in New York City, down in the meat quarter or whatever it is. What's that? The butcher's quarter, where everyone now hangs out. All the hipsters drink whiskey out of mason jars at these Tony places down in the meatpacking district in New York City, where at one time essentials could be bargained for and purchased in these very large markets, and everything was negotiable. So these days, what things are of value to you? Because fewer and fewer of us actually go to the mall and quote-unquote shop. We buy things online. Sometimes we're not happy with them. Sometimes we are. But there's a value to online shopping, and the value to online shopping is time. You can take less time, and you can be more focused in your shopping because you can comparison shop at 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 different places, depending on how fast you can type. And then when you decide on what you want, if you know what you want, like I want one of these propane gas, portable propane gas heaters for the inside of a vehicle. And I've been really going back and forth about whether or not I want to do this, but I've been shopping for it online. So I know the price range, I know who has it, I know where to go if I want to get it, and I could also just order one online. So it has to do with time. What do we do with our time? So time, actually, is a big value. Time is probably the most valuable thing we have. And then when I start thinking about that, I think, well, health is a huge value. You know, you look around here and you see these young people with their children, and you see older people, but most everybody here is between the ages of 18 and probably 49. I don't see too many really old people here. And why? Well, they're not that healthy. They can't walk around the mall like they used to be able to do, and they can't take the noise like they used to be able to take. So health, while you have it, is very valuable. In fact, it's even more valuable because most of the time when we have our health, we don't realize how valuable it is. We only realize it until we don't have it anymore. Respect. Now, respect is something you can only earn, oddly enough. Integrity is another one of those things that you have to earn through certain ways of acting. Trust. These are all things. These three words are all interchangeable. Trust. It's another really valuable thing, but you earn somebody's trust. And these are things that carry you know, a lot of weight, and they're things that we take with us. So if we are respectable, if we have integrity, if we have time, if we have our health, well, we feel pretty good. Even if we don't have any money, we still feel pretty good. And so I guess what I want to say today is that as I walk through here and I think about this stuff, I think that the really valuable things are the things that are actually intangible. And time, you know, you think time is something that's evenly demarcated, that it's a tangible thing, but time is not a tangible thing. It feels like a tangible thing. It's 2 o'clock. I have to get back because I have to go to yoga at 4. So, you know, I know I have this much time to do what I need to do today. This should only take 30 minutes. This should take 15 minutes. I'm just going to be in and out, right? In that kind of sense, time feels tangible. But think about the things in our lives that we remember with great clarity. And I will just take some of my examples. Sliding down the hill in the neighborhood when we were kids in the snow. And, you know, you would do that all day, it seemed like, and maybe it was 3 or 4 hours. And you had no concept of how many hours you were out there, but you never forgot doing that. First time I water skied, probably took me all day to figure it out, but I don't remember the attempts. I remember actually getting up and then skiing around the lake, and that's what I remember. And yet it took me 5 or 6 hours to learn how to do it. Seemed like it. But the thing that I remember is that moment, which was a moment when I actually got up. And I guess as long as we're in the water, the first time I swam, my first girlfriend, could never forget that. And how long was that? I mean, how long did the first girlfriend last? You know, that was something that seems like it went on forever, but it was over maybe a summer, maybe a month. The first time I ever got drunk, I remember that. And there are things before and after I probably don't want to remember, and things during I don't remember. But what I remember is that experience of just being completely free. That's the thing that was, and of course, that led me down the wrong path, and I had to quit drinking later. But at the time, I still remember that as being really a fantastic experience. And I think the whole point here is these are things that probably didn't take too much time, and everybody has different experiences that they remember that are really up there in terms of valuable things that happened to them, whatever it was. And you all have different experiences, but they're locked in. So those things feel like they happened yesterday if you really entertain, or they feel like they happened a long time ago. So this is where you get into this intangibility of time and the value of time, or the value of an experience, and the flexibility of time. And so the things that we remember are locked into our memories forever because they had great value as experiences. So experience is a valuable thing, any kind of experience. Or, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I'll throw in one more example. And this is what I was thinking about. The feeling that we all had when we realized we really had someone who was our best friend, somebody that we could trust, somebody that had our back. We had that feeling with our parents when we were little, if we were lucky. You know, later, good friends that would be with you and stand with you and help you and be your friend. Well, you know, you can count those on your hand. Literally today, I have 2 really good friends. You know, wait, literally today, I consider myself lucky because I have 4 or 5 really good friends who've known me for a long time, and from the high school years, and from junior high school, 2. And those guys are my best friends. There are things in our world that are really valuable, and they're not in this mold. There are things that, despite the materialism and all the marketing and all the persuasion and the demands of modern life, these are the things that never change, and they never will change, because they are part of the uniquely human experience. And I don't know, do we give these things to people as a present? Or do we have to have experiences with people so that they understand we are their friend? We have their back. We care about them. We have given ourselves to them. So I wrote a little list that I brought with me to the mall. And, you know, it's scrawled. It's hard to read my writing, but I wrote down, these are the things that I would value. To travel is a value. To learn is a value. To love is a value. To hate is a value. To be able to feel things strongly enough to know that it's love and that it's hate. To grow and know that you're growing is an amazing thing. All these are experiences that leave us with something, things that have real value. Now, we can't go through life without consuming. We have to eat and sleep. We have to do something. We generally, I guess, need some way to convey ourselves to and from where we're going. We need a car or something. We have to communicate, and we have to have clothes. Certainly in Minnesota, we have to have clothes. Now, for me, the thing that has always had value is what I am doing. So the creative work, doing podcasting like this, this is of great value to me. And it's always been a struggle for me to appreciate things that people gave me that are of real value. I know that they are of real value, but sometimes we forget to tell people. I forget to tell people that, hey, that was really something valuable that you gave me. Saying that to that guy or backing me up in that meeting, something like that. And usually it's because I'm so focused on what I'm doing. Things like trust, respect, integrity, and so forth, the things I mentioned before, kind of go by us sometimes. And like health, we really don't realize what it was until it's gone. So this Christmas season, I plan to take a moment to appreciate the things I have that are of real value. And I do want cool stuff, and I do want new stuff, and I do want stuff that is useful, and I guess I want stuff that you can put on the shelf or the wall that signifies something. But what I want to think about and appreciate is the stuff that has value, the stuff I can't buy. Remember, there's something new and fun to do at the West End in St. Louis Park, whether it's date night, business and corporate events, family, friends, night out, holiday parties, Brush Studio, West End, St. Louis Park. Classes tend to fill up, so sign up online at brushstudio.net or reach out to Brush Studio, 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Remember, when you have plumbing or heating problems these days, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, now I guess I'm going to go over and see if I can find a Christmas present. No, I don't think I will. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 687. Live at the mall to talk about what real value is.